In the beginning, all was in unity with God, and that's kind of the description of the garden in the book of Genesis, where everything is in harmony, and serpents talk to people, and people talk to serpents, you know, and there's no enmity or strife. Everything is in perfect harmony. Adam and Eve are in harmony with all of creation, and all of creation is in harmony with God. And then, of course, sin enters into the story, and everything begins to fall apart. And so that's symbolized by all the ills of the world, the violence in nature. You know, there's a tremendous amount of violence in nature, not just the storms, but the animals that eat other animals, and, you know, even the consumption of plants is a kind of an act of violence. And humans who were in harmony with all of creation now become out of sync with creation and are sort of fighting against nature. And then Isaiah and other prophets like him begin to predict this restoration of that original harmony. And so in that beautiful poetic passage that we heard this morning, the lion will eat hay like the ox, and the child will play at the cobra's den. All harmony once again. And one of the great symbols in the Old Testament period for the disharmony, the lack of unity, was the separation between Jews and Gentiles. And in Christ, all of that is brought back together again. And that's one of the major themes of St. Paul's writings, that the enmity between Jews and Gentiles has been resolved, and in Christ all are one. There is no Jew and Gentile, there is no Greek, there's no slave or free, no male or female. All are one in Christ Jesus. And so this is the context for our hope. Despite the fact that we live on this side of the kingdom, where that enmity and that strife still exist and the disharmony still rules, and the injustice that the prophets predict will come to an end at some time. You know, Isaiah is predicting this one coming, and justice will be worn like a belt around his waist. The Bible has wonderful imagery about clothing. Last week we heard Paul urging us to put on Christ, almost as if he were a garment. And here, the just one comes and he wears justice and righteousness and truth as clothing, the belt around his waist, and the part around his chest. It's justice. We live in that hope. Despite all the evidence to the contrary, despite the fact that the rest of the world tends to despair and say, well, our political world is falling apart and there's no restoring it. There's no economic justice in the world. The rich oppress the poor. That's just the way things are. There's nothing we can do about it. It's a horrible situation and we feel bad about it, but we also feel powerless to change it. And it's just so important for us to hear these readings on a periodic basis, to hear God's plan, and to trust, to live our lives in hope that God's plan is being worked out despite the evidence to the contrary, despite our own sin, despite the fact that we tend to despair like the rest, and it's hard for us to believe in this future that somehow seems to be pressing back into our present. And in the urgency in those gospel messages where people like John the Baptist say, one is coming after me and he's going to clear his threshing floor and he's going to burn in unquenchable fire all the chaff, and the injustices are going to be righted. And notice in so many of those passages, even in Mary's Magnificat in the Gospel of Luke, that's the reversal of fortunes. The mighty will be cast down and the lowly will be raised up. And again, another Isaiah prophecy, the mountains will be leveled and the plains will be raised, the valleys will be raised. so that a smooth highway for our return to God will be available to us. These are wonderful poetic images, but again, we live in a realistic world, and we know that we're not there yet. We know that we're still living on this side of that kingdom realization. But God has given us the Son, incarnated into human flesh, and already 2,000 years ago, He has shown us what it looks like to be a whole, perfect, harmonious human being, to be divine in a human body. And that's what's held out for us at the end, that we are going to be sharing in God's life in our human body, that the resurrection of our bodies will be a glorious body, sharing in the very glory of Christ, one with the Father and the Holy Spirit, indwelling, and we dwelling in them. That's our destiny. And we are given not only that past image of Jesus, but we're given this present sacrament of the Eucharist, this transformative power that, even though it seems invisible, and even though it seems like it's not making any progress in our lives, we are gradually being transformed into what we believe. Even in the 4th century, St. Augustine said, become what you eat. Become what you believe. We have believed since the 4th century in the power of this transformative rite, this Eucharist. That is not something we just simply admire or adore, but something that we eat and drink. Something that becomes part of us and we become part of it. That this transformative power actually, through the power of the Holy Spirit, is turning us into other Christs, active, vibrant members of His body. And that's what gives us the strength to go out into the world at the end of Mass and change it. The desert image is very strong in Lent, but it's also there a little bit in Advent too. And the desert has transformative power. The desert is the place where you meet God. And so 40 comes up over and over again. They spent 40 years in the wilderness being formed by God. The prophet Elijah spends 40 days and 40 nights journeying back to the mountain of God, Horeb, which is Mount Sinai, to renew the covenant. To go back to the source and then come back from that desert journey and go back to the city and transform it. That was his mission. And that's our mission too. In the biblical terminology, in the biblical imagery, the desert is the holy place and the city is the dangerous place of commerce and injustice and secularity, you might say. So we go out periodically like Elijah to the wilderness and get restored so we can come back and build the earthly city. So that's what's going on in that gospel story. They're going out from the city to meet John the Baptist in the wilderness. And what is he wearing? Camel's hair. And he's eating locusts and wild honey. These are prophetic images. Elijah wore camel's hair. So he's the new Elijah. And he's calling people out to the wilderness to be baptized, to be renewed, to be reborn into a whole new life so they can go back and rebuild the earthly city into the heavenly Jerusalem. Well, that's us. We are constantly in our prayer going out to the wilderness. We're going outside of ourselves, outside of the commerce of our daily life, and on a daily basis, we're praying. We're meeting God out there where God can be found. And the out there is also the in here. In the silence of our hearts, we meet God. And then on Sundays, we come here and we meet God in this sacramental way, in this very physical, dynamic way. And all of this builds our resolve, builds our grace, builds our power to rebuild the earthly city and make it eventually the heavenly Jerusalem. Not that we can do this on our own, but we're cooperating with God's grace. We're building it along with God.